Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
I am doing question mark, Millennial Ben.
Presented by Brakes Plus. This one comes in from Jake. What the heck was Vic thinking challenging that fumble? That was a clear side. Slide. I thought the same exact thing.
He was high.
I thought the same exact thing. I'm like you, first of all, in order to, remember, in order, we become savvy enough at this. In order to overturn a call, the evidence has to be incontrovertible, right?
Yeah.
Obvious. You really think in the case of a sliding quarterback and the uber emphasis they place on protecting quarterbacks.
Right.
They're going to set a precedent by allowing a fumble, overturn a call, and then turn it into a fumble by the quarterback who's in the process of sliding? Who is advising him? Seriously, who is in his ear saying, Vic, you may want to challenge that?
Do you think it's just his form of protest?
What do you mean?
I don't like the way you guys are calling this game, and I am protesting it. Here's my red flag. I don't like it. Like, he's just, it feels
just
to me
mad
like
as hell, and I'm not going to take it anymore.
Right. He just
Here's my
like
flag.
I'm protesting rules. I don't like the way games are called, and I am officially protesting. Here's my flag. Because that's what it feels like. It just feels like I don't like the way they call that. Not a fan of the way that is called. Protest.
Here's one. Hey, guys, the fact that the Rockies didn't give the Rangers $18 million in the deal actually makes this a good deal in my mind.
You know what? That's glass half full right
That's normally, glass half full of whole milk right there.
Right. Normally, the Rockies let their players leave and give you money. So, yes. That's actually, that is kind of whole milk.
Yeah. You know the Rockies are sitting back this morning going, huh, don't feel too good about yourselves, Texas. It's not like you got any money out of us either.
Right.
Huh?
We held on to the purse strings tight this time.
That's right.
I'd say, yeah, that's kind of learning from your past mistakes, right? Jeez. How do you know that you're not going to give him... You're not going to give him a qualifying offer, Mike. You know this. You know that you're not, like, he hasn't developed like you hoped he would have developed, whatever. You know that you're going to let him walk. How do you not trade him last year? Do you really think trading John Gray is going to, that's going to be the catalytic event that makes people stop coming to your glorious ballpark?
Right.
They're coming anyhow.
Yep. Oh, if we trade John Gray, here come the pitchforks and lanterns. No.
Not going to happen.
And swords.
Swords. May the swords be with you. I don't get it.
May the swords be with you.
Locke's fumble was bad, too. Not as bad as the pick, but he is just clueless.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I don't even, now I'm having a tough time recalling the fumble.
Well, when they basically happened back to back, I can understand how it blurs
right.
a bit.
Well, the best thing you do after you fumble is to throw a pick to overshadow, right? You overshadow the fumble. You make people forget about it right away. It's like the news cycle, right? You just wait for somebody else to do something stupider than you just did.
So he comes in his first play. He throws a 7-yard completion to Fant.
Good. Which he was tackled instantly on the spot. I mean, he was instantly tackled. As soon as Fant
went down like a felled tree.
Right. As soon as Fant catches, he just fall down. Why wait for people to tackle you when you just fall down? Yeah, so, it's like a Peyton Manning self-sack.
So on the second play, mm-hmm. And this is where I'm shaking my head. I'm like, wow, this is classic Drew. He fumbles, but he fumbles forward, recovered by, I think it was Tim Patrick, for a first down.
Well, that's right. I do remember
that.
They
got a first down out of it. And instantly, we're two plays in, and I'm like, uh-oh, this is already becoming a roller coaster. I want off.
Right. Did Drew Lock after Tim Patrick picked up the single first down?
Pew, 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 pew.
That's right. Oh, it's all man. Part of the plan, people.
All right. So then.
Okay.
With that fumble still, reverberating out there. It was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 plays later. No, I'm sorry. No, excuse me. He did. No, on that drive, they did score. They ran the ball exceptionally well after that near fumble. He got told, you will hand the ball off and you will not be allowed to play quarterback because they went.
Was that the Javonte Williams score?
Williams for 12, Gordon for 8, Gordon for 16, and then eventually Williams on that 9-yard. Touchdown run on 3rd and goal from the 9. They ran it, and Williams scored.
Oh, that's right. That was like a 5-man box and spread where it was just. I mean, it was just wide open.
Cush had to make one block. That was it. But then it's like, yeah, 2:35 left. They get the ball back. And they're up 14-0, and you're just like, hey, just be cool, man. Just be cool. And on 2nd and 8 from the Charger 48, he throws that pick.
You know what's amazing? You know, you and I are kind of always, we're pigeonholed into the roster building category, you know, and people thumb their noses at us and act like we're, you know, antiquated and don't know
Coach,
anything.
Coach, did Josh Allen... Oh, I'm sorry.
You played with 4 backup offensive linemen. 4. Your left tackle is your 3rd left tackle.
Show of hands when they showed the huddle and you saw a guy standing there with Bailey on the back of his jersey and you were like, who's he?
Right.
And that's our left tackle now?
Yeah, I instantly think of Philip Bailey. Phil Collins, easy lover. I mean, I see Bailey and I think Phil Bailey.
Please stop.
I know. But my point was this, Mike, before you sidetracked me.
Yeah.
Right back on track.
Always my fault.
Right back on track. It's amazing.
Yeah.
How quickly I can find my
laser,
way back.
Laser focus.
It's like I just leave a little breadcrumb trail. I find it. Oh. Yeah. Seasoning. It's like stuffing. Where was I?
Oh, yeah.
All those backups.
What's going on?
Yeah, and Cush is still your weak link. False start, holding call. What's that? There's a testament for roster building right there. How many teams can lose starting offensive lineman in this league and come out and run the ball and dominate the line of scrimmage?
How is it that the Broncos' 2 best performances of the season have come where they started the day shorthanded on the offensive line and got decimated as the day went along and yet plugged and played and performed the way they did? Same thing happened against Dallas.
Yeah. Well, I think you got to give a lot of credit to the development of young players. You got to give a lot of credit to Chris Cooper and to Mike Munchak. That's my guess. Amazing.
I guess my point is, does it show that maybe their backups are better than their starters?
I don't know that it shows that, but it.
If I told you instead of going with Bowles, Reisner, Cush, Glasgow, Massey, I'm going to instead go with Anderson, Muti, Cush, Miners, Fleming. Is there much of a drop off?
I don't think so. As a matter of fact, I think your inside gets bolstered a little bit with just pure power. Because don't you feel like Miner's coming off the ball? And I saw him come off the ball a couple times. Yeah, and you're going to make some mistakes. You're going to have some bad sets in it. But you have that anyway with your starters. But I felt like just coming off the ball and reestablishing a line of scrimmage, felt like that was pretty good yesterday. No?
Yeah.
Anybody else feel that way?
Well, plus I think what it does is it's like when you get the golf cart that has the built-in governor in it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you just start to go really fast and all of a sudden,
right?
I mean, like, oh, that's no fun. It's almost like it's a built-in governor for Pat Shurmur. Because what it does is it just forces him to all of a sudden just go, and he gets more conservative, runs the ball more. It's almost like he understands that the offensive line is beat up and is shorthanded. So it changes the way he calls an offense, and he ends up being forced to call it the way he should call it all the time.
Yeah, but see, here's the
problem. It's like the injuries are good.
That's the problem with your analogy, though, is the governor. Like, the governor in this sense becomes a good thing. Maybe the governor is a good thing on a golf cart because otherwise we go barreling down a hill at full speed and flip it. And then everybody, you know, is injured. So even though you don't like the governor, that's the analogy, right? Even though Pat Shurmur doesn't like the governor, it's a good thing to keep him from getting injured. I see where you're at.
Somebody's mad at us that we did not know that Quinn Bailey had been signed by John Elway in 2019. Again, I ask anybody who is watching that game who considers themselves a diehard Bronco fan, how many of you, when you saw Bailey out there, went, who?
How many games has Quinn Bailey been active for?
This is his first season in the NFL.
I mean, has he played on the practice squad? Where's he been?
Honestly, yeah, I'll go back and do a deep dive into his career path to get to this point. But point is, he's a great story. He got a game ball after the game. Good for him.
Is he like Cortland Sutton, who was a free agent and just ground his way back to?
Yeah.
Quinn Bailey. Where did Quinn Bailey?
Arizona State.
He's a big DMAC guy.
Yes.
Good.
So, anywho, Quinn Bailey.
You know, he'd been working out with McChesney.
He looks like a McChesney guy.
Working out with McChesney over there at his gym. Does a great job over there with the guys. Bunch of guys work out over there.
By the way, we're big into
it. Matt McChesney, see you buff.
Yeah.
Former, you know, they played for the Broncos for a while. Does a great job with those guys.
You know how we love our t-shirts here at the Fan.
Oh.
Man, you got to feel this shirt.
No question.
Another big win powered by the run game. And we've got a great way to help remind Denver's outstanding play caller, the OC, to keep calling plays for his bulldozing rookie, Javonte Williams. Grab your new exclusive extra soft Run the Ball Pat t-shirt at denverfan.com/store. These shirts have been a big hit. We got a feeling this one might be our most popular yet. That's denverfan.com/store to get your Run the Ball Pat t-shirt.
My guy Matt McChesney just told me 3 years on the practice squad.
What a great story.
You can talk about perseverance.
Mm-hmm.
Just keep on grinding. Eventually something good will happen. And if you don't ever get to play, at least you walk away going, I gave it everything I had and I just wasn't good enough. You can live with not being good enough.
But we talk about organizational success stories and how important those are as you're trying to build something here, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're trying to build a culture. You're trying to build a foundation.
And it was clear that George Payton looked at the re-signings of Tim Patrick and Cortland Sutton. It was evident in his comments that he viewed this as this is good. This is what good organizations do. They take guys that work hard, that do the right things. We want to reward those guys. That's a precedent we want to set around here, that if you come here, you do things the right way, you work hard to come back from injury, you produce, you do it the right way, you'll get rewarded. It was clear that he made that point in his comments. A story like Quinn Bailey goes a long way too.
Sure.
And you're in the locker room after the game. You know what those moments, those intimate moments are like after a win like that. And here's Vic Fangio handing out a game ball to Quinn Bailey, 3 years on the practice squad. What an example of perseverance. And he goes out there when called upon and holds his own against Bosa.
Yeah.
I mean, it's brick by brick. It's slow. I know a lot of people would like it to happen overnight like it did when Peyton Manning got here. It literally changed overnight, but that's the rare exception. You got to do it brick by brick, win by win, and that's an organizational win too.
Absolutely. And it's cool. I mean, it's so cool that they recognized it, gave the guy a game ball. I wonder what that sounded like in the locker room. You know, because, you know, Vic,
Benny?
Likes to throw around manhole. I like to throw on compliments like manhole covers. Game ball. This guy's been grinding for years on the practice squad. Came in. Really did a good job. Probably could have played better. Quinn Bailey. It's something.
Everyone's like,
they're not quite sure. Really liked his attention to detail. He could have played better, but I'm going to give him a game ball. Good for Vic, man. I kid because I care. Good for Vic. It's good to recognize those guys. It's good to praise those young guys when they come in and do something special. You're not perfect. Nobody's perfect. Nobody plays a perfect game. Of course you could play better. That's like from the Department of Redundancy. We could all play better. Nobody's ever played a perfect game. You could coach better. So, like, I think it's really cool, man. I think it's good. Good for the kid, and it's good for the organization.
All right, well, here's Vic after the game.
Gave one to Pat Surtain. Gave one to Saubert for his first career touchdown, which I was surprised to hear. He's been a great pickup for our team. You know, he's one of those glue type of guys. Hard worker, does anything. He's tough, smart. He's been good for those young tight ends to be around. Gave one to Teddy for coming back in the second half, not 100%. And I gave one to Quinn Bailey for coming off the practice squad. So, and then coming off the practice squad first and then off the bench to go play.
I like that. You know what? That's as excited. Yeah, I mean, that's like as excited as you'll ever hear Vic Fangio. Like, there felt like that was some real emotion there. And that needs to happen. You have to be excited for your guys. Saubert, Teddy coming off the injury, Bailey, Surtain getting the two picks. That's great.
You need better players to take it to the next level, sure. But you were part of three Super Bowl winning teams. You know darn well that I'm sure you can easily rattle off the guys both from Washington and from the Broncos that would fit into that just, hey, they're not heralded, but they're glue guys that were such a big part of what we did. I mean, who would be some of the guys from the two Bronco teams that fans would recognize the names?
Keith Burns,
okay.
Huge glue guy.
Yep.
Huge keep us together in the locker room. Dave Diasinfante. Gee, huge glue guy, practiced, did everything. Guard, center, guard, whatever you needed. Huge, like just a huge glue guy.
Glenn Cadrez?
Glenn Cadrez, absolutely. Special Zim.
All right, can I ask?
Yeah.
Why do you call Glenn Cadrez Special Zim?
Well, Glenn Cadrez named himself Special Zim.
Okay, instantly, I don't like it.
shouldn't be giving yourself your own nickname, but all right, go ahead. Why?
No, it's good because that's Glenn. Like Glenn was special Zim because he played left tackle on punt cover.
Okay.
So he was special team Zim.
I like it. Yeah. All right. That's good. That's
special
good.
Zim.
I'm surprised you didn't come up with
yeah,
it.
Yeah. And he was always practicing like his kick set and stuff, you know, playing live. He's always bad. You know, he'd just be like casually. He was so casual too. He'd be like, they call me special Zim. They go to the Pro Bowl. I don't know. You know, I mean, that was good.
But you need those guys.
Oh yeah. You got to have those guys on your team.
From Levi, man, George Payton sure blew it with Patrick Surtain. Wouldn't it have been so much better to have Fields yesterday instead of him? Roll the eye emoji.
I have Chicago this week, Mike.
Yes, you do.
Yeah.
Matt Nagy, still alive.
Yes. Lived to fight another day.
Got the Red Rifle delivering a victory for him on Thanksgiving Day. Boy, was that a boring football game.
300-plus yards passing, and you score, what, 16 points?
And had to sweat it out right to the end.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, just some... Dan Campbell calling a game that made Vic Fangio look like Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
His use of time... What'd they get penalized for calling two timeouts in a row?
Right.
I mean, just... Like, Lions gonna Lions.
Not one, but two third and 32s.
Third and 32, right? They had two of them.
They just don't hand third and 32 out. You gotta work hard for that. Third and 32.
Five game balls, that's 10% of the roster. Hey, orange slices for everyone. See, why you gotta be like that, Texter?
That's not.
Come on, man.
Not nice. They, I think it's good to celebrate a big win like that. That was not only a big win, that was a dominant performance. Dominant performance, Mike. A bunch of broken, you know, I mean, a bunch of injured and broken offensive linemen and change that over, all the change you've had from the start of the season to what you're running out there on defense right now, big-time performance.
I love playing these because I love playing these moments, this audio, in the presence of a player.
Mm-hmm.
Because you all get this kind of look on your face like, oh, I miss these moments. Sorry, here's Vic Fangio in the locker room giving out his game balls.
Coming off the practice squad. And blocking their outside rushers.
Good team win. Couldn't have done it without y'all. Thank you.
And you know, there are about at least 25 Broncos going, who is that?
Dude,
who's that guy?
Hey, man, hats off to Vic. Vic, if you're listening, I know somebody over there is. Good job, man. I know we give you a lot of grief. We kid because we care.
Playing silly games.
But good for you, man. That's the way to be excited, get your team excited, to reward guys who did it the right way. You saw the smile on my face.
A little grin came over your face.
And here's one of the things I love before we go to break about football in general or sports in general. Those guys were genuinely celebrating somebody else's success.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's what makes it special, man. Right. Cause where in life do people celebrate others' successes like they were their own? That's what I heard there.
Well, and real quick, because we spend so much time focusing on the stars in this game, and you lose sight of the fact that there's 1,500 guys in this league, and the overwhelming majority of these guys are just they're just trying to carve out a spot in this mm-hmm. league. They're playing week to week, month to month, year to year, and what you heard is. The Broncos locker room is no different. They're made up of a bunch of guys who look at their careers the same way. So when they see somebody like a Quinn Bailey have a day, have a moment like this,
yeah,
it is authentic.
Right.
Because they understand just, what the Quinn Baileys right. of the world are going through.
Please call, just trying to get a suit. And I'm just trying to put a suit on for Sunday. Get a suit. Good for Quinn Bailey. Got a suit.
So the question of the day is, what do we do with this victory? What does this victory mean to you, Broncos country? We'll get your reaction, and we'll kick it off with this one, this texter. Have we not learned anything from the Dallas game? Wah, wah, wah. That's next. Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Siltahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Siltahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth, so regardless of your financial situation, Siltahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com.
So we asked the question, what does this win mean to you as a Bronco fan? Some reaction on the text line. Steven says, what does the win mean? It's not that complicated. It means another week of hope. And what in God's name is wrong with that? Fans are simple. When and we watch, partying, buy jerseys. Bet 15 other cities would take it. Larry says, this performance is not comparable to the Dallas game. Dallas was consistently having receivers running wide open through the Denver secondary all day. This was a legitimately dominant performance by the defense.
Mike, it was a dominant performance. I mean, you want every time you looked up, it looked like Herbert, I mean, he had nowhere to go with the football. Therefore, the rush was getting, you know, you always talk about rush and cover, cover and rush. You have great sticky coverage, man. Your rush has got to get there. It did. You got a great rush. You know, then it eliminates the time that the guys on the back end have to cover. There's a symbiotic relationship between the two, and they had it going on yesterday. They were just matching people up, even in zone stuff. Like, everything becomes man eventually. Eventually, you got to grab a man. You heard Patrick Surtain on the first interception say, we're just playing cover two. He just sloughed off, made that pick. I mean, eventually you grab a guy in your area and you lock him down. And they did that in their matchup, in their zone stuff that they were matched up in their man-to-man coverage. Man, they had it on lockdown. There were very few guys running anywhere that were open. Very few guys running free at any time in that game.
Another texter, even bleeping Phil Sims, who hates the Broncos, said during the halftime show the Broncos are a Super Bowl team with a top QB.
Remember, for it to be a forward pass, it's got to go forward.
And I think he said, I think he added if they had Justin Herbert.
Okay, let me just say this. Okay. Phil Sims doesn't give two hoots about the Broncos.
Uh-oh, here we go.
He doesn't.
Fox NFL analyst Mark Schlereth commentary here. Go ahead.
No.
Here's TV Mark, everybody.
No. Isn't
much
TV
different
Mark,
than radio, Mark.
Mark hates, or excuse me, Phil hates.
Phil, I get you now talking in the third person.
Yeah. Phil hates the Broncos. You think Phil, do you think Phil hates the Broncos?
That was a feeling around here for about 15 years.
I think that's ridiculous. Why would he hate the Broncos? Did he play the Broncos in a Super Bowl? What happened?
Went 22 or 25, I think.
Yeah. Won an MVP. Why would he hate the Broncos?
I would think he has fond memories of the Broncos.
Exactly. I mean, just be like, stop that. Stop with the, he hates the Broncos. It's ridiculous.
Regarding Justin Herbert.
Okay.
Would I still like to have him?
Sure. Absolutely.
But that said, before the season began, remember I said, boy, we better hope that Justin Herbert has a sophomore regression or at least stays in place, because otherwise we're staring at two unicorns in this division. Justin Herbert has a long way to go to convince me that he's going to be a unicorn. Last six games, Chargers are 2-4, and in those six games, Herbert has thrown 11 touchdowns to seven picks. Again, would I like to have him? Sure.
Absolutely.
But he has either regressed or not made enough of a jump in year two to have me all panicky that we're staring at two unicorns in our division. Fair enough?
Yeah, no, I think that's fair.
Okay.
But again, like you said, would you like to have him?
I'd like to have him, but I wouldn't be convinced that I'm getting a unicorn if I got him.
But you are convinced that if you built a good enough roster around him...
They already have a pretty good team around him, and this is probably going to be 2 years in a row missing the playoffs. And it's his second year, I know, but let's not all of a sudden say, well, it's only his second year. Hey, I heard from enough of you after year one that said this guy is the truth. Need to see a little bit more. Need to see a lot more. Not exactly playing his best football when it matters most coming down the stretch here. Again, 2-4, 11 TDs, 7 picks in the last six games. Let's see. All this win means is they're going to get another year of Vic.
I want all the meatballs and the pasta, you know?
Do you think?
Think there's any truth to that?
Do you think he's going to save his job?
What has to happen for him to save his job? This win doesn't mean that Vic Fangio was back for another year. Stop it. That's hyperbole. But what would have to happen for him to come back for another year? Hold on. Answer that question. Oh, coming up next, we got Chad and Nate coming up at the top of the hour. Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan. For all the mopey Bronco fans out there saying, oh, all this win did was guarantee that Vic's going to be back here next year. No, it doesn't.
He was high.
But anyway, this text says, I've never seen anything like Broncos country, and many of the hosts here on The Fan, everything's week to week. They look awful and lose, and it's the end of the world. Fire everyone. Then they win, and it's unicorns and lollipops, and the Broncos are the best thing since sliced bread. We have determined the greatness of sliced bread, by the way. It's indicative of the current state of the team. No long-term vision, and it's just a short-sighted outlook / culture. Without solid coaching and good quarterback play, this team will forever be bad to average and live this roller coaster week-to-week life. From Neil.
Well, first off, I don't think anybody on the Fan, as far as hosts are concerned, gets one win and thinks it's all unicorns and lollipops. There's still plenty of criticism on the direction of the organization, what we need to do at the quarterback position, how it's unsustainable right now. I mean, all those things are apparent. Now, do I think that this roster has gotten better? Do I think there's more depth on this roster than there has been in recent years? Absolutely. Do I think they have solved the quarterback conundrum? No way. Nobody believes that.
Okay. And I agree with all of that. But to the point about, you know, until you find the head coach, until you find the quarterback, well, you know, the Chargers have one of these, you know, fresh-faced, high-energy wonderkins in Brandon Staley and a top-10 quarterback, and they're 6-5. Colts gave up a ton to go out and get a former number two overall quarterback in Carson Wentz, and they're 6-6.
Mm-hmm.
The Pittsburgh Steelers have one of the most respected head coaches in the league. They're 5-5-1. The Cleveland Browns went out and spent the first overall pick on a quarterback. They're 6-6. You know, for everyone who's like, oh, well, you know, we're stuck in this treadmill of mediocrity, And I'd rather be really good or really bad, but not stuck in the middle. So is that what you say about all these other teams too? Is that what these other teams should be saying about themselves right now? Is that what they should be saying in LA with the Chargers 6-5, the Raiders 6-5, the Broncos 6-5, the Colts 6-6, the Steelers 5-5-1, the Browns 6-6? I just gave you teams 7-12 in the AFC. Oh, by the way, the Miami Dolphins 5-7.
Blowout win yesterday.
So you're saying you don't want to be middle class, and yet the vast majority of the AFC is middle class.
Correct.
What are all those other teams supposed to do?
And
they've got outstanding coaches or
right.
highly drafted quarterbacks. What's it doing for them?
And the majority of those teams, right, spent that high draft pick on a quarterback. Right? I mean, Baker Mayfield was number one overall quarterback taken. There are questions about Baker right now. Are probably, if you were to poll, take a poll on Baker Mayfield, I bet you it'd be 60-40. He's not the answer. Tua, it'd be 70-30, he's not the answer. Now, the flip side, Herbert would probably be 80-20. He is the answer. Maybe even higher. But the point being is that you're still mediocre. All those teams. Boy, what did he do with Baker?
Now, this is actually the beauty of the fifth-year option. Because it allows you to have another year with a quarterback that deep down you know isn't the answer, but at least you can put off the inevitable of having to go out and find his replacement for at least another year. And you can somehow convince yourself that maybe, just maybe, if we give him one more year, he'll figure it out. Just like Jameis Winston and Marcus Mariota, the only other two quarterbacks I can recall who actually played on a fifth-year option without a contract extension waiting for them, and who did not get a contract extension from the teams that they played that fifth-year option.
Because they already knew.
The teams already knew.
They knew.
Here's the thing with the fifth-year option. If you get to the fifth-year option without a contract extension already having been done,
right, they know.
The team knows. They know you're not the answer.
Right.
If they know you are the answer, you will never see that fifth-year option without already having a new contract extension signed and in place and ready to kick in.
Correct.
That's so, you know, the argument of, well, you take a quarterback in the first round because you get the fifth year. If he sees the fifth year without a contract extension, the team's already given up on him.
Yeah, he's not the guy.
And they're just delaying the inevitable. That's all. What has to happen in order for Vic to keep his job?
How many games are left?
Six.
Six games.
And they're 6-5.
You gotta go 4-2. You gotta be 10-7. And be a playoff team.
10-7 and be a playoff team.
Yeah.
Not 10-7 and miss the playoffs.
Yeah, 10-7 and be a playoff team.
I agree. I don't see him missing the playoffs and still being back here next year.
I agree.
Short of winning 11 games and somehow getting squeezed out via a tie, you know, like the fifth tiebreaker or something like that. Short of that, I don't see how he can be back next year if they miss the playoffs.
That's 10-7 and a playoff team.
Yes.
Then you're back. Then you bet.
Yep.
Yeah.
And you know what? If you go 10-7 and make the playoffs, why not?
Right. You should be.
Because in order to get there, you're going to see a string of football that you haven't seen in 5 years. Certainly not with Vic.
Mm-hmm.
And yesterday was just the appetizer. You're gonna see a lot more of this if we get to that scenario.
Right.
10-7 and make the playoffs. You're gonna see a lot more of this to the point you're gonna be like, wow, where's this been for the last 2.5 years? This is cool.
Yeah, you're gonna have two games against Kansas City, another game on the road to the, you know, on the road to the Chargers. Where's the Raiders? Is it here? The Raiders game?
It's there.
It's there. Another one on the road against the Raiders. Cincinnati team that's
dangerous.
Yeah, I mean they're explosive. So yeah, you go 10-7, you've earned it. Down this stretch with the schedule that you have, you've earned it. It's big time.
But yeah, 10-7, you'll have to make it, right?
For you, what are the odds? What do you think?
10-7 and make the playoffs?
No. But do you think they can go 4-2 down the stretch?
You're asking me to give you an honest answer.
No.
Yesterday sucked me in a little bit.
Yes.
Okay?
Yeah.
But Dallas sucked me in a little bit.
Yeah.
And then how did they answer Dallas? So you can't put together the kind of football that the Broncos have put together for the last five years and be surprised when people don't give you the benefit of the doubt.
Correct.
You can't. You can't be coming out after beating Dallas or after beating the Chargers and say, see?
Told you so.
Nobody believes in us.
Right.
Just us against the world. Well, sorry, guys. You haven't done anything to earn it. Now, here's what you did. You talked during the bye week and came out of the bye week talking about how there's a sense of rejuvenation. There's a sense of pushing the reset button. We're starting our new season. And it's all laid out in front of us. Okay. You said all the right things. Now go out against the Chargers and give us a reason to think that what you're saying is real. And you know what? They did.
Yeah. It becomes
credit to them.
Right.
Now show that it wasn't a fluke.
Yeah. It becomes something you can hold on. It's tangible. Yeah. You can touch it. Right. You see it. Now, stack it together. Go out and win another football game. Or at the very least, compete and have a chance to win a football game in Kansas City. Because you do that, and it's going to feel like they're figuring it out. Anyhow.
For the texter says, Ravens picked up Lamar's fifth year. Yes, they did. And if they don't work out a new contract with him prior to that fifth year, that tells you all you need to know about their doubts about whether or not he can be the guy long term.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Good stuff. Great text. We'll keep it going as we will quickly transition to Chiefs week. And the question, is this the biggest game the Broncos will have played since Super Bowl 50? Wow. All right, we'll hand it off to Chad and Nate. They're coming up next. Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.